Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. When the Bible's talking about concerning them which are asleep, and that's the Bible term for having died as a Christian. If you die, the Bible does not use the word death or dying for a Christian. He says you fell asleep because, folks, listen to me. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that last breath that you take on this earth will not be the last breath you draw. And you'll exhale here and inhale in glory. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. And so there was some concern about Christians that had already passed away, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Well, that's a comfort. This portion of scripture, by the way, is talking about the rapture of the church when Jesus Christ comes back to rapture the church out before the tribulation period. The next thing on the prophetic calendar is the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to read a description of that, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Heavenly Father, we're going to need your help this morning, Lord. I'll need it as I preach. Oh, Lord, I need you. And so, Lord, help me as I preach. And then, Lord, for every listener, not only those that are present, but, Lord, maybe many of our folks, some of our folks that are sick, Lord, under the weather or shut in, but, Lord, they're tuned in, they're listening on live stream, Lord. Every one of us needs your help to get what we should get today from the message. So, Lord, please come and Lord, befriend us during this time. And Lord, help us. And Lord, help us to understand the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this is an interesting subject. What about that? The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Listen to this. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's interesting because it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. But wait a minute. The Bible says back in verse 15, it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And then in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, notice this, will God bring with him. Wait a minute, preacher, I'm confused. Wait a minute. Those that sleep or have passed away, when Jesus comes, the Bible says God's going to bring them with him. And yet when he shouts, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise. So if I have a loved one who has passed away, if I have a loved one that has died, where are they? And why are, how can they come with the Lord and yet still be resurrected from the dead? What is the Bible talking about here? We're going to give you Bible answers to these questions. Go, if you will, over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and we'll get part of the explanation, and then we'll get into the preaching of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 51. Again, we're going to talk a little bit about the rapture. This portion of Scripture is talking about the resurrection, and it's also talking about when Christ shall come back for those of us that are saved. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Remember, sleep is the word for dying. So you're saying that some Christians are not going to die. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Here it is, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. We just read about that last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So you have a corruptible body that must put on incorruption, must be traded in for something that is that is for incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Stay with me, because we're going to talk to you about this morning about our heavenly bodies. And so we've laid a little bit of the groundwork. Let me give you some points, some biblical precepts, some things the Bible teaches about our heavenly bodies. Number one, let's talk about our earthly bodies first. Our earthly bodies are vessels that simply contain who we really are. And boy, we need to say that out loud, folks. There is way too much emphasis, way too much attention, way too much importance placed on the vessel that holds who we are. And we're seeing some very damaging things in the life of our young people. And I'm going to hit on that a little bit. Now, every single one of us was created in the image of God. We can go back to Genesis and look at the creation story. God said, who is the Trinity? God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He said, let us make man in our image. And so when God created Adam and Eve, he made them a body, and he made them a soul, and he made them a spirit. Okay, body, soul, and spirit. And that's what every single person is today, their body, soul, and spirit. Now, there was a rule in the Garden of Eden, and the rule was this. By the way, one rule. Come on, Adam and Eve. One rule. I only wish I had one rule in my life. One rule. And that is this. You can enjoy all that I've made. God says you can enjoy all that I've made for you. You can eat off of any tree. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat that. And you don't partake of that. You leave it alone. And so, of course, you know Genesis chapter 3. Sadly, here comes Lucifer in the form of a snake. And he tempts Eve. And she gives into that temptation and she disobeys the Lord. But the Bible warned them that there would be a consequence if they ate of the fruit of the tree. God said this, in the day that thou eatest, if you disobey me, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Okay? So Eve takes the fruit and bites the fruit. And then she offers it to Adam and he takes the fruit also. And they disobeyed God. And their bodies did not fall over dead. Okay? And the soul of man will never die. The soul of man is going to live somewhere for all eternity. One of two places, but it's going to live somewhere of all eternity. So what died in man? The spirit died in man. Bible in the New Testament talks about that when we are born into this world, we are still a trinity. We are still three parts, body, soul, and spirit. But every single one of us are born sinners, and we are dead in trespasses and sin. What part of us is dead? Our spirit is dead. So I want you to imagine that every single human being is born into this world with a human body. The Bible calls it a vessel. That's important. I want to use that term. I'm going to read some verses that reemphasize that. It's a vessel. You know what a vessel is? A vessel is a container that holds something. Okay, so we have our body, which is the vessel. Everyone in here has a never-dying, ever-living soul. It's never going to cease. The body will die, but the soul will live on somewhere for all eternity. We also have a spirit, but that spirit, even though we have it, it is dead in trespasses and sin. And this is how we enter into this world. And if we die in that state, then the soul, according to the word of God, spends an eternity in hell. But I've got good news for you. God wanted to remake man and redeem man back to his original state. But sins had to be paid for. And you know what, folks? There's no way in the world I could pay for my sins, and there's no way you could pay for your sins. Because no matter how much good you do, it does not erase the sin. It's there. Heaven's a perfect place. God is a holy God. He's not going to let sinners in. So he had to come up with a plan. And thank God, before he even created the world, he'd already come up with the plan. You know what he did? He said, I'm going to send my son. Because the wages of sin is death. The Bible teaches us the wages of sin is death. And so I'm going to send my son down to earth. And he's going to be born of a virgin, and he's going to be man, but he's going to be holy God. And he's going to live a perfect life, and I'm going to allow him to die on a cross, and he will be the sacrifice. Okay, if the wages of sin is death, then that means either Jerry Ross has to pay that. And that word death, study out in the Bible, doesn't talk about just the physical death, not just the death of the body, the death of the soul. The Bible calls it the second death, shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay, so that's the state I'm in when I'm born and when I come into this world. Okay, but Jesus came down, and because he'd never sinned, he became the perfect sacrifice for sin. If the wages of sin is death, Jesus raised his hand and then said this, then I'll die for their sins. You see, he didn't have to die for his sins because he'd never sinned. So he became a substitute for us. Now, an exciting thing happens when somebody hears the gospel. Now, when you're born, and when you're born, you're not on your way to heaven. When you're born, you're in trouble because you're a sinner. When you're born, you have a living body vessel. You got an ever-living soul. And you got a spirit that's dead in trespasses and sins. But Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day. And now he offers to all of us the gift of eternal life. If a man will simply say, I believe and I acknowledge and I'm under conviction of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. And you know what? Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice for me. And he did that for me. And I want to accept him as my personal savior. Folks, listen to me. The greatest day of my life was the day I sat in church and understood that I was a sinner in need of a Savior and understood the gospel, what Jesus did, and the light came on. He did that for me, and he wants to save me, and I can be born again. Now, why do we call it born again? You go back to John chapter 3, and Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus, and he says this to him, and this is a religious guy, by the way, a religious man, but he says to him, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so here Nicodemus is asking questions. Born again, what are you talking about? Am I to enter again into my mother's womb? He was thinking of the vessel, the fit member, body, soul, spirit. And he's thinking, what you talking about being reborn, my body? No, that spirit that's dead needs to be reborn, brought back to life. Because the spirit is the part of us that can communicate with God. And so when Jesus told him, you must be born again, what he was saying is, the day that you receive me as your personal Savior, and if you read down through that conversation in John chapter 3, Jesus explains it. He said, that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit, little s. What he's saying is this, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you, and he brings to life that which sin killed. Now, there's an amazing difference between somebody before they're saved and somebody after they're saved. I mean, we have been fundamentally remade, fundamentally restored, redeemed. Remember here, you have a living vessel, a body that contains a never-dying, ever-living soul, and a spirit that's dead, and that is the only part of us that communicate with God. And you know what? We're in trouble because the wages of sin is death. And if you want to choose to pay for your own sins, God will let you. But boy, what a shame, because he sent Jesus to pay it for you. He's holding out to you the gift of eternal life. It doesn't cost anything. All you have to do is turn to God from your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and say, I want to be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It really is that easy. But it's also absolutely necessary. Okay, so here is how we come into this world. And this is the state of most people, that all the people that's never been saved. Then a person comes to church, or somebody hands them a gospel tract, or grandma's been praying for them. They go over and she opens the Bible and says, let me talk to you about your eternal soul. Or some way God gets the gospel to them. And they begin to feel conviction. They realize they're a sinner, and they understand how much God loved them. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I can have everlasting life. Yes, you don't have to suffer the second death. You can accept Jesus. He came and died for you. And so you bow your head and say, Jesus, thank you so much for dying for me and for offering me this gift. And yes, I want to be saved. And yes, I want to receive you. And yes, I want to become your child. And yes, I want to be born again. Please, Lord, save me right now. And isn't it wonderful that God says, whosoever, anybody, at any time in your life, you know what? If whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's pretty awesome. Now, what changes instantly? You still have your body, still there. You still have the vessel that contains a never-dying, eternal, ever-living soul. But this spirit that was dead, the Holy Spirit comes in and he brings that spirit back to life. And all of a sudden, you have a new dimension to your life because there's a spirituality to your life. One of the saddest things in the world is to try to watch lost people be spiritual and seek spirituality. That's why they end up in so many crazy places and they're looking everywhere but where they ought to look. But the minute that, listen, little Jerry Ross went to the Rock Run Baptist Church north of Brazil, Indiana, and I heard the gospel, and I heard it week after week, and finally the light came on, and I stepped out of my pew, looked at my dad and said, I need to be saved, and I walked forward, and I knelt at an altar, and the preacher showed me John 3:16 and a few other verses, and I prayed and asked Jesus to save me, and all of a sudden, yes, my body is still there, I still have this vessel, and I still have this soul that's in there, but all of a sudden, spiritually, I'm born again. God brings me back to life. What sin killed, Jesus brought back to life. But here's the great part. The Holy Spirit that came in and birthed that, he doesn't leave. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? So God gives the Holy Spirit as the earnest of our salvation. Earnest money is what you put down on a house. And by the way, if you don't end up getting that house, you lose your earnest money. And you know what? God said, I'm going to make you so secure that the earnest money I'm putting down on your eternal soul is one third of the Trinity. Okay, I'm going to have to break up the Trinity to send you to hell. I'm forever saved, okay? And so now, all of a sudden, I wake up, and I'm telling you, the world's different, and I view things differently, and I feel things differently. Listen, it's not, you may not see a instantaneous, all the changes on the outward, but there's an amazing change that happened inside of me because all of a sudden there's a spiritual hunger and an ability to communicate with God. And I used to open the Bible and I can't understand this. And I opened the Bible and all of a sudden I begin to understand it, not all at once, but here and there. And God begins to open things to me. And I begin to pray. And instead of feeling like I'm just, my prayers are hitting the ceiling, all of a sudden I feel like, wow, not only am I communicating with God, but God is communicating with me. And folks, it's wonderful to be saved, okay? Now, we're talking about our earthly bodies, okay? Problem with our earthly bodies is it's still under the curse of sin. And this earthly body, this vessel, is going to carry who we are while we're here on earth, our eternal, never-dying soul. Like I say, folks, you know what? I just want to say this about the world, and I hope you'll understand. The lost world and people that don't care about God, and people that have walked away from God, and people that have turned their back on God. Come on, you know what? All they have is their soul and their body. And that's why their body becomes this thing that they practically worship. And I just want to say a word. You know, I think even as a Christian, because our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, obviously, that we ought to take care of our bodies because of the fact that it is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a difference between taking care of it and worshiping it. And you know what? You know why there's so much going on in so many segments of society. And you know, it's almost like people worship the body and they're all concerned about the body. And young ladies, I want to say this. Way too much pressure is put on our young ladies because there's this image of what is pretty and what's beautiful and what's attractive. That you know, these young ladies sometimes feel pressured to try to measure up to. Listen, God is 100,000 times more concerned about what's inside of your vessel than the outside of your vessel. I think that needs to be said. The Bible literally just refers to our bodies as a vessel, a container for our soul that is really us. You see, I'm looking at Jonathan, but I'm not seeing Jonathan. And this is what everybody needs to be reminded of. People are judging each other by outward appearance. And sometimes the way they treat people based on outward appearance. That person's pretty, so she's important. That person's not as pretty, so she's less important. Where'd you get that? Okay, this person's tall, and this person's short, and this person's one color, and this person's another color. And too much emphasis is placed on the vessel. It's just the vessel God gave them. I'm looking at Jonathan, but I'm not seeing Jonathan. I'm just seeing the vessel that contains him. And God's not so much worried about the vessel as he is what's going on the inside of that vessel. And so, folks, listen to, I'm not going to go long on this, but as Christians, you know, we view the world differently. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, as Christians, the Bible says that every one of us should know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. There's a moral standard that we hold to because of what the Bible teaches. 1 to 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified meat for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. And so, yes, there's certain things that we ought to keep our bodies from, and we ought to stay within the moral dictates of the Bible. And but remember, 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, but you're not your own. Okay. Paul said this, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means that when I preach to others, I should be a castaway. You know, we have to learn to say no to our body sometimes, because our body has appetites that sometimes are outside the boundaries of what God would please the Lord. And yeah, I get it. As Christians, we view our bodies differently than the world. Okay, we're to possess it in sanctification and honor, dress it modestly, discipline it into subjection, control its appetites, and deny its sinful temptations. And that's what every one of us ought to do as Christians, strive to do every day. But I'm afraid in this fleshly, carnal, Laodicean age, there's way too much importance placed on the vessel and way too little importance placed on what the vessel contains. Listen, young ladies, I want to help you with this, okay? Too many of you become obsessed with your outward appearance. Watch this, while spiritually starving your soul. You know, I used to say to our daughters, you know, if you're going to spend an hour in front of the mirror getting ready every day and work on the outside, but you don't spend 5 minutes reading your Bible, then you know what? You're out of balance. You're out of balance, okay? Too many young men are obsessed with sculpturing their bodies with exercise, workouts, and protein shakes. Watch this. While their soul and spirit waste away as it feeds on sinfulness and depravity. Now, young men, listen. Don't repeat the foolish mistake made by the sons of God in the days of Noah. Remember that? They chased young ladies because of their outward appearance, because she appeals to your flesh. And so you want to chase a girl for what she, because of how she looks. And you're ignoring the spiritual state, what's really inside, who she really is. You better take time to figure that out. That's why Proverbs 31:10 says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Isn't that interesting? God said, what I put a high value on is virtue. That's inside stuff. And yet Proverbs 11:22, boy, here's a verse you probably seldom hear read from a pulpit. Let me read it. Proverbs 11:22, as a jewel of gold in a swine snout. I'll let that little phrase sink in. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Okay, for country people, that's a pig's nose, okay? As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You know what you're seeing out in the world? You're seeing a lot of women that put all of the emphasis, come on, in the way they dress, walk, conduct themselves, the time they put into it. They're all worried about their body, their body, their body, their appearance, their body, their body, their body. Now watch this, young man. Come on, I haven't gone to a youth conference yet and preached this message, but I've got one called, Are You Just Pig Jewelry? Say, what are you doing? I'm trying to hit a reset button here. Hey, I'm all for you coming and looking nice. Please, girls, comb your hair. Okay, brush your hair. Please, guys, brush your teeth. Okay? That could be a real blessing, right? Listen, you know, that old preacher said this. He said, hey, if the barn needs painting, paint it. You know? But you know what? We are so consumed sometimes with the outward that we don't understand that what's precious to the Lord is really what's on the inside. Now, let me ask you about your inside, okay? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Listen, I don't want you to feel bad if you come here as a preacher. I think what God's telling me from what you're telling me the Bible says is that, yeah, I was born in this world and I've got a body and I have a never dying, ever living soul that's going to go somewhere, but I don't know where it's going. And there's no spiritual life because my spirit's dead and I've never received Christ. So I've never had that born again experience where God comes in and brings to life some part of me that I didn't even know existed till today. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like getting saved. Because all of a sudden, everything in your life is transformed. Yeah, I still am in the same vessel. I got up on my knees, you know. My body wasn't glowing. You know, I didn't kneel looking like Jerry Ross, get up looking like Clark Gable. You know, nothing changed. You know, anybody remember Clark Gable? Okay. Sorry about that. That's Superman, I don't know, Spider-Man, I don't know, whoever the hero is. But, hey, you know what? My ever-dying, never-living soul was the way it was when I knelt. But now it's got a new destination. But, buddy, I've been born again. Now, I know I've spent a lot of time on this, but this earthly vessel, you know what it does for the 70? You know what it does for the time that God allows it? It just carries around what really is all of us. There's going to be a day when that body dies and that soul and that spirit go somewhere, okay? And, you know, all of you have been there. And I was just recently, I lost my mom about 10 weeks ago. And you know what, I'm never going to be unkind. Matter of fact, if there's ever a time to be extra kind and tender and compassionate and loving, it's at a funeral. But I've stood beside corpses and I've looked in the face of people that used to sit in this pew. And I looked at the face of my dear mother and I saw the vessel, folks. That's what was there. Listen to me. My mom wasn't there. That's just the vessel that carried her around for all these years. Now, because it carried my mother, that vessel's still precious to me. But she's not there. You know what? They can do it and they do it. They can hire, you know, someone to come in and do her hair, and they did. And they can work and take a picture and try to get her makeup the way she wore it and try to get her looking. But come on, folks, let me just be very truthful, at least for me. I'm standing there looking at my mom. When the spirit and the soul of a person leaves that vessel, there's something that fundamentally changes that no makeup and nothing anybody can do is ever going to make it that my mom looked like she did when her body was energized with that soul and spirit. So we carried that vessel and we took it out to PB Cemetery and we buried that vessel. Preacher, answer the question you posed at the beginning. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to blow the trumpet. And the Bible says that they that have already gone asleep are going to come with him. You know why? Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, to be absent from the body is talking about your soul and spirit. Your reborn spirit and your soul, when a Christian dies, they immediately go to be with the Lord. And their presence is with the Lord. But they await until the rapture their new glorified body. So in what state are they? I can't answer that question. By the way, they're with the Lord. They're okay. They're happy. They're not feeling pain. There's no sorrow. There's rejoicing. There's joy. Hey, don't weep for them. If God would roll back the heavens and let us see our loved ones and watch them for 10 minutes, we would not weep for them or wish them back. We would weep that we are here and not with them, okay? But we took that precious vessel and we took it out in the cemetery and we buried it. Now, what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? Okay, now some of us have not died. We're the ones, the Bible says, we that are alive and remain. So when Jesus comes back, just to the clouds, the trump of God sounds, then you know what? The Bible says that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's talking about those of us that are still alive. So even though I'm going to be bodily resurrected to meet Jesus, taken up in that instant moment, there's going to be a changing and a transformation of my earthly body into my glorified body. And you know what? The Bible says before I go, we shall not prevent. We're not going to beat the ones that have already passed away. And so the ones that have already passed away, they're going to be resurrected first, and God is going to take their bodies and he's going to reform them in a miraculous way and reunite them with them. And they're the essence of their body. And this is the part I can't really explain. There's something about the earthly body that God uses the raw materials in a transformed, glorified way to give us a new body, absent of a lot of the problems that comes with our mortal body because of the sin curse, okay? And so when God blows the trumpet one of these days, you know what? Mom and Dad that's laying out there in PV Cemetery is going to go before I go. Now, it's all going to happen in the twinkling of an eye in an instant. But you know what? He promises they're coming before you. And I think by the time we get there, I'm going to be looking at my mom and dad in their glorified bodies. And I'm going to be in my glorified body. Only I got to cheat a little bit because I didn't have to die. I just got to be transformed. One man said this, I'm not praying for the undertaker, I'm praying for the upper taker. And I'm going to say amen. I'd just soon go that way. But if I don't, then you'll come by and you'll look at me in front of the pulpit here. You'll all lie and say, oh, it just looks just like him. And it won't look just like me. But you'd be, people are kind and whatever. Oh, they did such a good job. Looks just like him. And as a preacher, I'm sitting there going, not really. But you know why? Because that's not them. And as a Christian, you say, preacher, you know, as a Christian, we talk about this stuff. Folks, listen, I tell our young people, hey, let's talk about life, but let's talk about death. Because dying's a part of living. Okay, and for a Christian, it's not scary. And we don't have to do what the world does where they spend all their time chasing all this crazy stuff. Why do they get involved in all they get involved in? It's all a big distraction to keep them from thinking about what's coming. And so they live a life of distractions to try to keep from facing reality. And we as Christians open the Bible and look and say, reality's pretty good. And you know what? We're here for a purpose. God saved me, not just to change me, not just to take me to heaven, but to one of the, but while I'm here on earth, to fulfill his divine purposes and plan. And now that I know God and I have a part of God living inside of me, I can find that path and I can fulfill his will and I can live a meaningful life and I can take care of my family, but not just physically, not just their souls, make sure they're spiritually okay. Hey, I've got a book that has all the answers. And you know what? I'll have to read it every day to figure them all out. But boy, God just opens it up to me. And what a way to live. Now, folks, that's what we're going to enjoy one of these days in heaven. Now, I'm going to give you a quick summarization. I'm trying not to go there, but I'm going to go there. I just want to say this. Jerry Ross has the up on most of you. Okay? I don't have a lot to brag about, so when I get to one of them, I do it. I cut my big toe off when I was 17. It's buried in Linton. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to get raptured twice. The rest of you, let's get raptured one. So as you're flying through the air, everybody sees a toe go by. You get a hold of that thing and glad reunion day, glad reunion. Let me tell you about this glorified body. This is what the Bible says about this spiritual body, this glorified body. Watch this. It'll be raised in incorruption. It'll be raised in power. It'll be made a quickening spirit. It'll be heavenly. It'll inherit the kingdom of God. It'll be raised in glory, raised a spiritual body. It'll be our last body. This isn't my last body. That'll be my last body. And by the way, it will bear the image of Christ. 1 John 3:2. Well, behold, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so we look at Jesus' glorified body after the resurrection, and we say, if we're going to be like him, I mean, you know what? He came back after he rose from the dead. He was here for 40 days in his resurrected body. So we can read those stories. He wasn't bound by the same physical limitations. The doors were shut to the upper room and he just appeared. Think about hide and seek, kids in heaven. It's going to be amazing, all right? our glorified body will be recognizable and identical. Even though it'll be drastically changed, I'll still know Levi. But let me tell you something amazing. When Peter and James and John was on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah came down, they knew them. I'll know people I've never met. I don't know how to explain it. I'll know them. I'll walk up and I won't say, what's your name? I'll say, John the Baptist. Paul. And you'll be known, know and be known of all people up there. How neat will that be? Christ's glorified body still carried the marks of his suffering and sacrifice. And one thing about Christ's glorified body, we're going to be able to see the nail prints in his hand, in his feet, the wound in his side. That'll be a forever testimony of his love for us. Our glorified body will be able to be touched and handled. He asked the disciples to do that. He ate with them. Thank God we get to eat in heaven. Praise God. Our glorified body will bear a brightness in proportion to our faithfulness to turn others to righteousness. Then you get back to the heaven chapters. Our heavenly bodies, one day, every tear will be wiped away and there'll be no more crying. The Bible says our heavenly bodies will never die. The Bible says there'll be no more pain. Our heavenly bodies will possess no appetite for sinfulness. Our heavenly bodies will be equipped to drink and eat. There's going to be that pure river of water of life coming from the throne. There'll be 12 manners of fruit from the tree of life. Think about this. Our heavenly bodies will be strong and have a desire to serve the Lord. The Bible says this, and there shall be no more curse, no more curse on that body. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. You know what? It's not going to be something we made to do. It's going to be something we want to do. And I want to say this. You know what? Service is still going to be a part of what we do in heaven. I've told people, work is not a curse. Work existed before the curse came into the Garden of Eden. We were made to do. We're our happiest when we're doing something. There's still going to be things for us to do, projects, and we're going to serve God. I don't know what it's all going to be, but folks, it's not going to be like you're floating around on a cloud with a harp for eternity. To me, that sounds pretty bad, really, honestly. Our heavenly eyes will see clearly, and they shall see his face. You tell your mama that. I talked to Mrs. Ali, and her biggest fear is the fact she's losing her eyesight. She told me. She sat in front of me and my wife more than once, tears rolling down her face. She said, preacher, what am I going to do when I can't read the Bible anymore? I'm going to tell you something. Everything that's ever been wrong with any of us, it's not going to be wrong with us up in heaven. That deaf person will hear. You imagine their first 5 minutes in glory? Woo! Brother, they are going to be shouting and slobbering and crying, and I'm going to be shouting and slobbering and crying with them, amen. You know what? They'll be able to see. The deaf will be able to hear. That lame, Cheryl's little brother, talk. You never walked a step in his life, born physically and mentally handicapped, and never walked a step on his own power. Let me tell you something. He's running up and down the streets of gold. Whoo! Our heavenly bodies will have the likeness of Christ. Now listen, this isn't a fairy tale. Okay, this is the Word of God. I know I've skipped and I didn't read every verse, but I promise you, everything I just told you, I have scriptures to back it up. Where are you at? Are you here? Are you here? Everybody around you that is here at one time was here. That's why we rejoice when people get saved around here. Because we knew we had to be saved. And when we have somebody come to church, and we've had thousands through the years walking the doors of this church, hear the plan of salvation, hear the gospel, walk forward, kneel down, pray. And you know what? The same thing that God did for Jerry Ross at the Rock Run Baptist Church, he can do for you at an old-fashioned altar today. But let me tell you something. Except a man be born again. These are Jesus' words, red-letter words. Except a man be born again. Jesus said, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Folks, we've been talking a lot about heaven, and I'm done. But let's not ignore the fact that there is someplace else that God had to make. Somebody said this, well, I don't think God would send somebody to hell. Folks, God doesn't send you to hell. Your sins send you to hell. Your unwillingness to repent. There's a lot of people going to be in hell because of their pride. Well, I'm good enough. I don't need to. Okay, well, then go your way. But none of us is good enough. All of us are sinners. And I want to tell you this, the same God that spoke to Jerry Ross's heart is still speaking to people today. And folks are getting saved. People are still listening to the Holy Spirit. Hardly a week goes by where either in our church or outside of church, I don't talk to somebody that's telling me about someone they were able to lead to the Lord or someone who got saved. Right after the service, we're going to have two people get baptized that the Lord did a remarkable thing in their life and they got saved. And now they're following the Lord in believers' baptism. Not to get saved, they're already saved, but just as a first step of obedience. Let me ask you this. I'm done. Are you here? Or are you here? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, please. Thank you, Lord, for your tender care. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, one of the things I remember on that morning that I got saved was how powerfully you worked in my heart. And Lord, there's some things that only you can do. And Lord, you work within the heart of a man or a woman or a teenager or a child, convince them of their need to be saved. Thank you for the drawing of the Father. The Bible says, no, Jesus said, no man could come to me except the Father draw him. I remember sitting at my pew and being urged to go forward, knowing I needed to go. Thank you for drawing me. Thank you for helping me to understand the simple gospel. Here's the good news. Jesus died for sinners. He died for me. He was buried. He rose again the third day. So he died to pay for my sins. He rose again so he could offer me eternal life. He defeated sin and death for me. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Lord, thank you for all of these things. If there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, I pray they'd be saved today. Lord, they just simply listen to the Spirit of God, step out, and allow us to take the Bible and show them how they can be born again. Lord, I pray, dear God, for the baptismal service that'll follow, Lord. It'll be blessed and sweet, that we'll feel your goodness and your presence there. We pray these things in Jesus' name.